Hello and welcome back to another episode of What Are We Called Today, people?
We're still talking
Para. Oh, we're still talking Para. Okay, still talking Para. Okay, yeah, someone told me it was going to be something else. But anyway, welcome back to another episode of Talking Para Podcast. Live on Facebook, anywhere else, YouTube as well.
You think after 26 rounds you'd be pretty good at this, Troy, but it's getting worse.
Yeah, I know. Okay, here we go. Take two. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Talking Para Podcast, round 26 of the NRL, live on Facebook and YouTube, and the podcast will be on Apple and Spotify. We've got four hosts tonight. We have Joel from League of Inches, who is apparently going for the Warriors. We have Hayden from the Entertain House. How are you going, Hayden?
Doing very well here in 2022. Okay. I'm looking forward to the 2023 season.
Right. Fair income. That's pretty good, mate. Light the Christmas tree in the background, like one of our guests last week who had the Christmas tree in the background. And I'm Troy from the Para Cave Podcast. Mathematical, still a chance. And Adam, our Wake Me Up When September Ends. Great song there by Green Day. How are you going, Adam?
I'm done.
Okay, thank you very much for joining. Oh, okay.
Hayden, let's get started. Hayden's broken me. That's brilliant, Hayden. I knew you said you were going to come up with something good, but obviously, there's a Mr. Andrew come on last week and had his Christmas tree still set up. It's all around feature in that house.
Shout out to Andrew, regular listener.
All right. Well, let's get started, all right? He's ready now? Because this is a serious time of season. It's the business end of the season, so let's talk some footy. First of all, Chirubru. Obviously, Friday night. Awesome night there, Friday night. Great win for the boys. Look, Manly come out and gave absolutely everything to us. We were tested, but I know there's some controversy in the game, but we found a way to obviously get the victory with Murata scoring there at the end and then the field goal. So 29-22. Locks us into third spot, and you think we'd finish in third spot and play Brisbane week one. Joel, your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it was really good. I don't care what they say about the tackle, but we're on a roll. It's going to be a blackout come September. I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic to watch us go all the way to the grand final.
Yeah, and Hayden, you're obviously on the wires as well, mate. You're there. It was a great win, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good win. Good fly over New Zealand. Only a 2-hour trip on the plane, so express flight. And
I'm waiting for the vlog, Hayden.
Pardon?
I'm waiting for the vlog, mate.
Waiting for the vlog?
Yeah, the Manly Warriors vlog.
Nah, mate, no vlog. No vlog. I was just
in the moment, like, when you've got a good team to support, it was just in that moment of enjoying it. Right. Now, Troy, you haven't jumped on the WAS.
The reason why there is a Parramatta vlog is I actually met up with Christopher Lloyd while I was over in New Zealand, and he gave me the DeLorean to come straight to the Parramatta mat. So that's why there was a Parramatta vlog, though.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, Troy, you haven't given up by looking for it on Parramatta. You're still wearing your Parramatta stuff in the background. Mathematically, we're a chance. I think we've got to win by 50. I think we need someone else to get beat by 50. What do you got, Troy?
Yeah, so it was great to see Jake Arthur score the first try on the weekend.
I was talking about that game.
Is that not what we're talking about?
Sorry.
It sort of reminds me of 1996, Parramatta playing Penrith at Penrith. I think we had to win by about 30-odd points that day. I think it was Gary Freeman's last game. And we needed to win that by 30 to make the finals that year. But nevertheless, we failed in that achievement. I think we lost that game as well.
I think the same thing happened in 2003. We played Penrith at Parramatta in one of the last games of the year. Obviously, went on to win the comp in 2003. We had to beat them by about 23 points.
It's becoming a bit of a common thing playing Penrith in the last round and having to win by massive margins. But, I think you're right. I think it's the Roosters have to lose by 50 or something to the Tigers or some ridiculous thing.
Maybe South Sydney, Canberra, I don't know. There's no fucking chance, let's be honest. But let's get serious now. We've only got to do this two more times this year. Let's go back to Friday night and the 8 o'clock game, not the 6 o'clock game. Look, once again, the effort was there. I thought the effort was there early. We probably should have been up 10-0. Really, Will scored that try, and it probably could have been a different game. But once again, we just have these stupidity periods where we just leak points. And it happened once again. And next thing you know, we're down, was it 16-6? So, you know, as frustrating as a Parramatta fan, obviously someone's put the comment there for the shit apology for Brad to come out and say they've put in effort all year and they've tried their ass off. They don't want to lose games. Well, what I'll say, Brad, is if that's the case, you obviously look at things different to every other fan, because we can quite clearly see, although they might be making effort to train, they might seem like they can, there's just some severe laziness around the team. And there's some severe, I wouldn't say egos, but we don't want to earn the right to play footy. And that's where we're at. Like, last year, things just happened for us attackingly because we went out and we belted the crap out of teams for the first 10, 15 minutes. And then we started throwing the ball around, obviously, you know, cut them to pieces there. I think the most frustrating thing I did as a Parramatta fan this year was go back and watch that Dolphins game. And it's where our season ended, let's be honest. The second half was terrible. But the first half, everything come that easy for us the way we were attacking that we just thought we'd be able to do it against every team every week. So we go out one Friday night, we start throwing the ball around, we just expect things to happen, and we find ourselves down 16-6 and we don't know what to do. I will say, and you can't blame this on our season, I will say this, the refereeing was disgraceful by Ashley Klein. None of the 50-50s went our way, but we never really got ourselves in a position to win the game where we can blame a referee. I thought at 22-12, when Gutho was taken out, that kick to potentially was a bit of a game changer, but like I said, you can't blame a referee when you get yourself down by 16 points. I will now be serious and go to Troy for his actual thoughts on the Parramatta game.
Oh, look, it was disappointing, wasn't it? I mean, we all talk about effort, and look, it was there again for about 15 minutes, and then it all fell apart. you know, Cardi got the first try, I think it was, and then...
Did he?
I don't know. Did he? I think he did.
Well, he did, but I don't know if it was a try, boys.
Nah, it was on the line. It was on the line. Just. Only just, but he got it on the line. And look, then obviously the wheels fell off. The edge defences, they let in, what, 3, 4, 5 tries? And I don't know what's going on there. Talking to Steve Eller before the game at the Leeds Club, he was saying that he doesn't understand why wingers jam in like they do. They should be staying out. They obviously don't have the confidence in their inside man. For me, I think it was just that these, well, especially Mike Acevo, he's just trying to pull off that big hit, and he's not thinking about what he's doing. He's just trying to put that big hit on and be on the highlights reels for a couple of weeks, but it's not working, and he got caught out 2-3
You've highlighted Mike Acevo's career there in three very important words. I don't even know how many words it is. I don't know what he's thinking. Continue, Troy.
I don't know what he...
Yeah, I couldn't be well
accounted for. About 7. But, yeah, so, well, he's trying to get on the highlights reels by pulling off a big hit. It didn't work the first time, and he did it a couple of other times as well. So, there's obviously... And after one of those times, Bailey was blowing up at him as to say, what were you doing there? Why would you do that? And so there's no connection between the centre and the winger. So... that was obviously very disappointing. What else can you say? You can't say much.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to highlight this because I was going to talk about it later, and we're going to have a Sevo segment later, but Sevo copped a lot of heat, obviously, at the game. I know I was shouting some abuse at it. Look, the thing with Sevo, and what a lot of people don't realise is Fijians are not very confident people in themselves. you got to stop doing this. You got to stop telling me. I need to hide the
comments. Your counting was just as bad, mate. You said it's about 7. There's 6. I think me and Joe... Oh, you can't even see it while I'm doing it.
I don't know what
he's thinking. He said he's.
My mum, dad, stop. I don't want 2 Christmases, guys, all right? I know I'm the spirit of Christmas right now. I don't want 2 Christmases. I stop fighting. But, look... The thing with Sivo is, as I was about to say before I was really interrupted, Fijians are not very confident people. So you see after he makes those errors, he walks back with his head down. It just frustrates the fucking shit out of him even more. Because he's walking back with his head down. You're like, make an effort, mate. Like, make an effort and look like you care. What I want to call out is, I want to call out Gutho abusing the shit out of Arsene quite a few times. I think it was very noticeable to everyone that was at the game or watching the game on TV. And it shows that, obviously, Arsene isn't part of that little boys' club we've got going, little, well, we'll call them men, whatever you want to call them, and that little clique. But he was actually right. The decision-making by Sivo was forced by the fact that Arsene once again wasn't sliding out. And this was the issue we had with him weeks ago, obviously, when he was in that regular support. He wasn't obviously sliding out, which just means Bailey wasn't sliding out, which means Sivo had to rush in. Sivo, although he wasn't nailing it, and if you're going to rush, you've got to obviously nail it, you've got to get your center to come with you. Although it seems stupid, it was kind of the right thing to do in that situation based on what you've learned from up and out defense.
But Sivo stays out.
So Arsene was kind of...
Sivo stays out on his man, and then if they go, if they go inside Sivo, then it's not his fault.
We haven't defended like that for 2 years.
We haven't defended that. Problem. We haven't defended that.
We've had the same defensive structure for years now. I don't know, and teams clearly know how to exploit it.
We've actually changed it this year. We've changed it a lot this year because we were relying on our fullback to get across last year in Gutho, and he just wasn't getting there. As this year, we're back more of a slide, and it gives Gutho
now
time.
Now we want the playmaker to get there. Now we want either Moses or Brown.
Exactly right. The third man to get there. You're 100% correct. Yeah. That's an easy, like, I could, you know, as a, whatever my average
just
DJ.
Playing with football.
All you got to do is switch under your center, and you expose that gap as well. And that's why we're so weak and lazy back through the middle, because our second rowers aren't working. And that's why I've been called out so many times, because our second rowers don't want to back the slide in case they turn under. That's where they go through. So,
but
look,
Sivo doesn't do anything wrong, is what I'm saying. I'm a bit against you with that, because I watched all the games on the weekend, and a lot of teams defend the same way. They have that in factor. But the difference is a lot of the wingers have footy brains, where still Sivo doesn't. And that's how. That's why he continues to get caught out here, because he's not timing when to go at all. He's just going. He's not timing it at all. I was watching other teams do it on the weekend. They do it perfectly. It's literally in sync. The centre and the wing are in sync.
Correct.
And hit him straight away. Where we're just all over the shot.
I don't know what he's thinking.
but that means we do blame Sivo. That's the thing. Like it is Sivo's fault. At the end of the day, I think it's Sivo's fault.
Well, it's not really, because...
Oh, it's the coach's fault, to be honest, because he's doing the defensive structure.
You're putting faith in a bloke that clearly doesn't have any idea, and, like, how much work have they put into him? Obviously not much. The communication's not there with, obviously, Bailey. The communication's not there with expecting Gutho to get there. Arsene's obviously isn't covering, and that's what, obviously, Gutho could have been blowing out at Arsene for to get there. But to be fair to the Roosters, they were moving the ball quite well, and it's, you know... Thanks, but I actually shout out to Daniel Tupou. He shouldn't move sides, because Sivo's handing out tries like Oprah hands out cars. But, you know, obviously Daniel didn't listen and stayed on the left side.
Comedian as well.
I know, yeah. I was on fire. I had no filter.
High performance manager Hayden Knowles, he says the most connected team is the best defensive team. So they're obviously not connecting with each other.
No, there's an issue there. There's a clear issue in the team. And
there's a divide.
Is there a divide, or is there a coaching problem? Or, like, look, let's look back to 2018.
It's funny, everything.
Let's look back to 2018. The team should have won the comp in 2017. 2018, there was rumours all year of a player divide. The next year, Tim Mena ends up out the team, hasn't fallen out with Brad Arthur. What's happened this year, you know, we don't know, but there's obviously got to be some kind of issue the way they've played football games. Like we can, like I said, we can blame the tough draw, we can blame the turnarounds, all this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it hasn't been good enough, and there has to be some kind of answers.
But
and
also, you haven't had the same team each week. I don't think
we've had injuries. We did.
I don't think we've had one team the same for 2 weeks.
But we did it. We didn't last year. Remember, all the wingers kept going down. Like we had those problems, and then all of a sudden, you know, we still made it to a grand final. We weren't using the excuse last year. You look back at our draw last year, and our draw last year was kind of identical. We had a pretty tough draw last year to what we do this year. So let's get back to the actual game now. Before we get too far, Joel, give me your thoughts on the game besides obviously Micah and his inability to complete a tackle.
It's just disgusting. It just sums up our season. We versed a team that was in the same position as we are and fighting for this season, and there's only one team that turned up. And that's what, as fans, we should be disgusted in, is the fact that all you guys that went there, all you guys that paid the money, all us, our members in some capacity, and that's the crap or the shit we're getting dished up. Like, that was must-win game. And we turned up as if we're all it once again, with this aura that we've got about us at the moment, thinking these players think they're all it because they've made a grand final and it'll just happen for them. There was no one there actually wanting to try hard and do the tough runs and work hard. Like, the effort, and it pisses me off this afternoon when I heard BA starts talking about the effort again, because the effort hasn't been there all year. I don't know why we continue to talk about effort, because the team has no effort.
Well, I think if the effort wasn't there, we'd be fighting for the spoon with the Tigers.
We will be next year, I'm telling you right now. We will be. Yeah, I am telling you right now, if we do not change what is happening in this football team, we will be fighting for a wooden spoon next year. And you can laugh, Troy, all you want, but it's true, because nothing is happening right now that is bringing any shining light to this club. We have not recruited one player for next year, and I don't know if you looked at the market, but there's no one out there who's going to save our team next year. Our coaching structure is an absolute disgrace. The club's a disgrace. Where is this shining light coming from?
Well, we've got to hope.
The teams below us are improving. Have you seen the Dolphins recruitment for next year? Absolutely the best recruitment. It's players that we should have gone after hard. So tell me how, apart from the West Tigers for next year, someone else who's going to be better than us or worse than us.
We won't come last.
We shouldn't be aiming to not come last. We should be aiming to get back to where we were. You know, that should be our aim. And unless we have, a new coach, a really good preseason, or some of these junior players really come on, I'm the same. I can't see it improving. But let's talk about that quickly. The junior players improving. We've got a nothing game this weekend, an absolute nothing game that means nothing. And we had some kids going to New South Wales Cup last week. Why not chuck him in and give him a run? Like, Penrith are going to fucking trounce us anyway.
But will the NRL let you throw in 3, 4, 5?
Don't we still have a couple of spots available? I know you can ask for obviously exemptions and stuff.
Yeah, but would the NRL let you throw in 3, 4, 5 junior players?
Did we ask? That's the thing. That's the question that needs to be asked. Did
we all know what the answer's going to be.
Well, probably yes, because our season's done. They don't care what we do.
No, they wouldn't say really. Yes. You do it for us, do it for everybody.
What the NRL would care about at the moment with Parramatta is keeping Parramatta's membership numbers high for next year. So if there was a chance that we could show a couple of sparks and things to get better, they would turn around and give us a chance, you'd think. But instead, we've named this team, which we'll go through the team soon, and there's no promise for the future. There's blokes that shouldn't be there, and we're going to run through it later. I've got a little bit of a segment I'm going to throw on you later. It's pretty much alive or gone, but it's pretty much going to be players, do they deserve to keep their spot next year? And would they keep their spot at other teams? Let's get to Hayden first. Hayden, thoughts on that?
Hey, Hayden, after 18 minutes, how are you?
I'm here. Obviously frustrating game on Friday night there after the Warriors win. That was the highlight of the night. No. You mentioned it, Adam. The game changed after the Will Penasini no try. It looked like a try, and then obviously once we got the replay that was taken away, which would have been one of those games where it could have been a really early lead. You felt like Parramatta was starting to find a way back into the game when we got to 10 points without James Tedesco off the field, but just took the foot off the pedal, handed over easy possession, which we've been doing all year, where, as you said, the first 15, 20 minutes competing with the team, keeping them to one try, or we're being up by a try, and then just absolutely letting it go as we head into the second half with deficits. A couple times this year, we've been able to cut those deficits and either win or lose close losses, but this one, obviously, really disappointing. And I know I've done the maths 80s hours, but let's be real, season over, and nothing game against the Panthers on Thursday night.
I guess the disappointing thing is that all the results went our way as well across the weekend. Everything we need happened. If we actually found a way to win that game, we could have been going at the Penrith. We could have been optimistic, but not expecting a lot, but optimistic that if we did somehow beat Penrith, that we would have obviously played finals football. But instead, like I said, it was a lackluster effort. And it didn't seem like, did anyone here actually go to the game expecting Parramatta to win that game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Troy, you didn't.
Absolutely. I expected them to win that.
I've been travelling to Parramatta. I've been a member since 2010, since I turned 18 in 2009. I've been travelling to games, 2 hours each way since then, obviously 320 kilometres round trip. And that's probably the most unmotivated I've been to go to a game since the Wooden Spoon years. The only reason I went is because it was a young fella's birthday and he was asking to go. Besides that, I just never thought we were going to win that game. Even at 6-0, I thought we're never going to win this game because the opportunity, obviously, the try we scored, I thought was all right, but it wasn't great. And then the second try that we should have scored was, though they moved the ball around, it was a bit of luck. The Roosters' tries were pretty well constructed. As soon as they scored three tries, I knew we knew it coming back. So it didn't have that feel, and the crowd didn't have that feel like, there was more Roosters' chance going around than there was Parra chance. The Roosters got fuck all fans.
What's going on with the Parramatta drum? If you're watching this, I'm calling you out. You've done well for the last 4 years. We took it up to Townsville for you last year. There's a fake drum playing over the stadium. You've been doing a fantastic job.
Yeah. Just because Come on, Swarm, where are you?
Bring back the fucking drum.
I know he wasn't there. He wasn't at the game. So
look at the last three games.
If you would have taken a young bloke bowling before the game, that could have been good karma, and the result could have been a whole lot different, mate. So
on that, let's touch on that moment. Me and Troy, I ran into Troy at dinner. What's the name of the place we had dinner?
Jack's Bar and Grill.
Jax was there with mum, dad, and the young fella, and I said, the young fella just wants to go bowling for a game. Took him once. So I've gone into the bowling. First of all, shout out to whoever watches this podcast from Parramatta, because I have never been death stared so much in my life, and Troy will witness it. Oh, I was copping it, wasn't I? I was copping deafies left, right, and center.
I actually didn't see who was looking at you, but you said everyone. That. You said that. So.
I walked in on my own funeral by the look of it.
Someone walked up to you and say, just so you know, I'm Woodamoo Greg's uncle.
The what?
I said, did someone walk up to you and say, just so you know?
No, it wasn't. It was people in Parramatta shirts at some Parramatta function that had the bowling clothes so Lucas couldn't go bowling. Yeah,
the Parramatta CEO mainly.
Yeah, mate, they knew who I was, and I don't know who they are, so I don't care who they are. They're nothing. But what Troy witnessed next was greatness. Troy, would you like to talk to what happened next at the basketball? Just highlight it.
Yeah, I think
was it like being next to a young Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, it was, actually, yeah. I mean, the young fella's playing the game next to you, and you decide to have a crack at the basketball, and it's just kept on leveling up because you just kept on getting them in. Swish, swish,
kept
swish.
The record, then, guys, just kept
yeah, absolutely. The I mean, at one point so there, was, I think the high score was 100, but then you were at 140 or something. And then
160, thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great, guys. I just want to highlight that was my only win of the night. So I just wanted to mention that. All right. He's done. He's done with Friday night. Can we move on? Joel, you're looking a bit sweaty there, Joel.
Sweaty.
Yeah, it's a hot in Queensland.
It's that humid Queensland weather, mate.
It's a hot night, but I'm hot under the collar. I'm just over it.
You don't have a collar. Move on.
All right, let's do this. Let's look at this week's team, and we're not going to look at this week's team. Let's address the Papali'i rumours first. Joel, you want to have your say on that?
Oh, we've actually known about this for a while now. I think I was mentioned on this podcast by our fellow panel man who isn't here at the moment, but is off tonight. But NRL 360 was talking about the Papali'i rumours coming up with the Tigers, and apparently it's getting louder that he wants to come back to the club from next year. So, I mean, to be honest, after the games I've watched, he hasn't done much at all this year, but it is the Tigers. So he might be having his year off knowing he's coming back to the club and just having a bit of free time, who knows. But it'd be good, obviously. We've been lacking strike on the edges, and he would definitely help fix what we've been lacking.
Let's be honest. He tried to do everything he could to get out of going there after signing there. Mm. He hasn't seemed happy there. He's seemed a bit lazy, seemed a bit unfit. As you said, kind of like a year off, earned some good money. I was actually pretty critical of how popular he was at the back end of last season. I thought he showed a lot of the same things, but it could have been fatigue from a player who had two pretty big seasons after not playing a lot of minutes, obviously, before he came across. But I think if he does come back, he'll be hungry. He'll want to be in a team that plays finals football, so hopefully we are that team again. And, well, look, obviously we're doing something right if he does want to come back. Either that or the Tigers are doing a lot fucking worse.
Do we have to pay him what the Tigers are paying him?
Well, not if he wants to come back. We've got
because
him where we want him.
I reckon he went to the Tigers on overs, so he's not worth what he went there. So,
What did he end up on? Was it 550 or something? Or, anyone know?
Over there.
More, I think.
More than that.
Over
than
there, it was about 750, I think.
Okay, well, if they're going to let him go, and our club is as smart as they think they are, they're going to be paying for him. So, you know, obviously we can't pay 750 for him. He's not worth it. I'd have Murata back on that money over him. Where Murata's going, that's for sure. So, you know, obviously watch this space. Like I said, we do need to make some signings. Joel put a post up today, and look, there's fuck all around. We probably need to start looking at teams New South Wales Cup, teams Jersey Flegg.
Put the comment on the screen, John. So that the viewers know what we're laughing at.
I know.
Who's admin, man? Is that me? Or is that Joel?
I don't know. Probably Joel, I think.
Give us your answer. It's probably admin from Paris. It could be you, Troy. I don't know. But Troy's actually probably the most...
It's probably something to do with the club.
Yeah, I don't know. Let us know what you're thinking, Shannon. But look... I'm gone. This podcast is done, Lee. This is the end. I think we've only got two of these left. How hard is it going to be to talk next week about something? Look, what was I even talking about? Oh, what's available? We need to start looking at, obviously, other teams' juniors and start rating juniors like ours get rated. Now, we've just seen Canberra obviously take one of our best up-and-coming players who, once again, wasn't given a chance to prove himself. Yeah. Well, thanks, Michael. It's like... It's me.
Maybe the Roosters have got some juniors.
What's a Roosters junior?
Yeah, maybe they've got some. I don't know.
Yeah, they've got some hidden away somewhere. All right, let's do this fun thing. I'm going to run through this week's team. And keep questions coming, guys. We'll get to them at the end. We'll stop trying to be distracted by them. Simple one-word answer. And if we get resounding no's, we'll go back and we'll talk about that one. All right, so I want to know, is their position safe next year based on what they've done this year? All right, we're going to go around in this way. So Hayden will go, Joel will go, Troy will go. All right, Gutherson.
I'm going to say yes. However, if we want to go on the market and we've said...
One-word answer. We're going to get to that.
No, you can't give one-word answers. I'll try and give one-word answer.
I'll say yes. There you go, Santa. One word, yes.
Joel?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
All right, Hayden, what do you got? I think you're going to say the same thing as me. Go.
Well, I think if this club wants to be able to go after someone like in the comments, Joey Manu, or, you know, someone big like that who provides that strike, then the thing is, you mentioned that Gutho is, you know, one ACL, and we hope it doesn't happen, away from the end of his career. He's been fantastic at the club. He's been there for over 6 years now. I feel like it could be time where next year could be that final year. But if the club is smart about chasing new players, then I necessarily think they could go with a change, especially some of the captaincy that we have seen, especially this year off the field and even on the field in regards to the treatment of players that you've said.
Yeah.
Totally agree, Hayden. I think he's getting older. Look, champion player. Maybe a change of position is good for him. Get someone. Gutho's never going to break the line at fullback. He always gets tackled. He never breaks a line. So, get someone younger, faster.
And that's the thing. Look, I've spoken about this previously. I said Gutho, one injury away. Gutho was probably the only player on Friday night. You could see how it affected him with the season ending that played for the jersey. He's the only one that puts in every week. Look, he doesn't always have his best game. I think the fatigue of everything he's trying to do is caught up with him now. But as Hayden said, if we want to take that next step and win the comp, we need someone a bit younger, a bit more speed there. And it's kind of, what is Gutho holding back by being there? Personally, with a good preseason, I'd like to see Arthur Miller-Stevens get a crack at fullback, and I'd like to see Gutho potentially shift to the centres. I know we've been calling for a while, it hasn't happened, but I think next year could be the year it has to happen, and it's about time we invest. And I guess what a lot of the top teams have proven now, we don't need to spend big money on our 1, 6, 7, and 9 to actually be a top team. We've got a lot of money invested in our halves. Bring someone young through at fullback and obviously give them time to grow, and obviously they're going to earn more money the better they get. All right, let's move on to number two, Sivo.
Well, I said at the start, I hate this one-word answer shit. I said at the start of the year that I thought Sivo wouldn't be re-signed, but obviously he was. So I'm going to say if Brad Arthur's there, yes.
I know Brad Arthur, what's your opinion?
This is you.
Okay, well, no. In my opinion,
on this year's performance.
No, he hasn't scored a try in weeks, Troy. He hasn't done anything. Don't back him up.
Joel?
No.
Troy?
No.
Okay, so we're all thinking the same thing there. Not much to say. Look, I think Sivo could obviously do some time in New South Wales Cup. The thing with Sivo is last year he seemed to be developing his game and to the point where, you know, he's starting to put those little kicks and stuff, and he actually seemed to be developing pretty nicely. This year he's just come out and it's just been nothing. It's just been stupidity. I think we don't have much coming through, obviously, in regards to wingers, so we'd have to try and get a winger, or maybe Richard Pennicini comes on loan with a good preseason. But as Ben commented, I think it's time to shop Sivo around. Look, French rugby is still going to pay big money for Sivo. And that's honestly where he'd probably kill it over there. He wouldn't have to touch the ball. He wouldn't have to make as many defensive decisions because they didn't know anything but kick the ball in French rugby or just rugby in general. And I think that's where his obviously time is. Let's move to the other winger in Sean Russell.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. I think he's done enough this year.
I think he's done enough. I'm going to say yes as well. But the question I have about Sean Russell is, would he be playing first grade at any other club? And to me, he needs to work on some things in his game. Still, he needs to work on, obviously, he needs to put his size on, let's be honest. And they're getting on some magic stuff over the offseason, which they're obviously quite capable of doing. I think confidence is going to be a big thing for him. And he's our speed. He's our only speed. Obviously, Bailey is as well. But he's our only speed, and I guess, you know, he can be that prolific try scorer if we actually move the ball well and get him some more ball instead of going the same side every time to Sivo, who bombs it. Will Pennicini.
Yes.
Yes.
I think he's been not so great in recent weeks. And as you mentioned, Adam, you said it a few times, he's been exposed. But shut up, Cena.
look, yeah, I agree with you. I thought he made a really good start to the year. That Dolphins game I thought was going to be a breakout game. And once again, like, he's one of those players, I know it's no excuse, but one of those players that played a lot of football last year, and, you know, he's only really in his, what was it, second season last year? Second or third season?
2020, second? I think he started, didn't he?
I think it was, was it?
2021.
COVID year, 2020? I think. COVID year.
Well, 2021 was the COVID year.
I thought remember it was his
Look, his breakout game was 2021 in the
2021 against the Raiders.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, look, second season, obviously last year he played a lot of football and obviously went on to the World Cup as well. So I think he's feeling the effects of that. I think that's why he's been struggling. I'm seeing some pretty poor defensive reads by him, and they just don't seem to get him enough early ball, but obviously he's safe there. Bailey Simonson in the centres. Hayden?
I don't know, eh? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. Controversial.
Joel?
Yep, I'm on the no bandwagon, 100% no.
Troy?
Yes.
All right, let's discuss this one. I thought Bailey was superb for us for about 3 or 4 weeks when he was probably playing for probably his career in a way, in the NRL anyway, because obviously he was back and forth between New South Wales Cup and first grade. He's obviously been pretty poor lately, but the whole team's been poor, so it's hard to judge. I think Bailey's a better centre. I don't know what else we have, what other options we have there. And, yeah, I'll ask that question now. Who would you bring into the centres if you don't have him there?
Let me just say why I'm saying no first. Out of his Parramatta career so far, he's had way more bad games than good games. I know he had that 3 or 4 weeks, but we've got to stop rewarding players for having a good purple patch of 3 weeks or something when majority of their time here has been poor, and then we pay the price for it. It's, I just don't get it. Like, we should be a club now, and I said it last week, where clubs envy us. We have one of the most powerful junior bases. We should have players out here or lining up in the 17 that teams are going, holy shit. Like, we've already discussed now five players in our back line, and probably three out of the five, most clubs wouldn't even touch, or they'd be lucky to make their New South Wales Cup side. Like, this is the issues where we're at the moment. I don't understand why people keep being so positive about things.
Yes. That's Joel. We need Joel's rant up. It'd be going off every time he talks. That is...
But it's right. True, but yeah. Like, Bailey hasn't done much at all. Like, in his career with Parramatta, he has not done much at all. He had probably two good games at the back end of last year, and then he's had three good games this year. I'm
so
sorry,
but you do not... question, and he pretty much answered it. Would he be starting in a centres at any of the top four teams?
No, nowhere near it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone agrees there. So, and I said the aim is to be a top four team and win a comp. So, oh no, I forgot to shake again, guys. Here we go. Going black screen.
It's all right. We can still hear you.
Yeah, I know. I need reminders, guys. Like, in the comments, please remind me. Can't fix it. It's a work computer. All right, let's move on. That's obviously the back five covered there. Look, obviously, Arcee's at 5'8 this week. We know he's not going to be there. So, Dylan Brown.
Yes. Yep.
Do we want to talk about Dylan Brown going out on Saturday night after the game for a bloke who's just been charged? We can assume he wasn't drinking, but obviously footage is emerging going out. So one thing I will say to Dylan is he really needs to pull his head in and obviously focus on his footy next year.
Well, probably would have been better for him to stay at home, but, you know, he is a young bloke. But obviously I'm hoping that he wasn't drinking, but he'd be stupid if he was. But... the best thing for him would be to stay at home.
Yeah, I can't stay at home. Sorry, I've just seen Shannon's comment and I'm done. Shannon,
right, obviously... stop asking Santa what you want for Christmas. Do it another time.
all right. Mitchell Moses?
No.
No. Yeah. I'm joking. Yeah. Why did someone else have to do it?
Yes. Oh.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, obviously we know that, the answer. I think Mitch is obviously in for another good year. One thing obviously needs to develop is getting that composure back in the game, which I think was missing a lot this year, repeat sets, which I'm going to touch on soon. Arthur, so make sure someone reminds me. But I think in his last couple of years as well, if he can't get us a comp in the next couple of years, he probably needs to be moved on. I know he's obviously signed a new deal, but...
What was the vision of Brown? I can't get that out of my head at the moment for some reason.
Just a photo posted somewhere I saw of him out at some club in Western Sydney. So
seriously, yeah. Like
someone said, the main fiddler there.
As a club, they should be pulling him in yesterday, and going, mate. Seriously, you're one more step away from getting the boot. I don't care what people want to come and say, he's a gun, he could be anything with years to come. The club has to make stances for this. The bloke's just been suspended for however many weeks he had, was suspended for, and the first chance he gets, he's back out there.
So he makes a mistake, and you're going to... So he makes a mistake.
And they try it twice.
And he paid the penalty, but was he drinking on the night?
Doesn't matter if
he's
drinking.
Did he cause any trouble?
He shouldn't be in there. He shouldn't be out there, Troy. Are you serious?
So what? He has to be locked up.
Look what he's just been in trouble for.
He's got to be locked up.
Locked up? Yeah.
As in at home, mate. At home. He's got to be locked up at home.
Why not? Why does he have to go straight out after a game? Or on a game week?
I think it was Friday night, not Saturday night. It was after the game, like, I believe.
Pull his head in. Seriously, mate. He's got a 10-year career. Pull your head in.
Get him to jump on TikTok and do some dances with Nathan Cleary.
But he needs to, you're right, he needs to pull his
head. He's on big money with us, and we've already lost him for 6 weeks this year, which cost us finals, and he's back out there doing it, and you want to sit there and try and protect the bloke. Here's the reason, or one of the main reasons, we're not playing finals footy.
But as I said, so when is he allowed out then? When is he allowed to go out?
Mate, at the moment, he's clearly got issues that he needs to sort out first.
So he's got to stay home all the time.
The club.
Well, mate, you can go to time zone or some shit. Go do that crap, but don't go into freaking nightclubs and shit. Are you serious? Like, I don't even understand what you're talking about, mate. Seriously. You've got to stop pissing in the pockets of people at the club and call a spade a spade.
You obviously didn't listen to what I said before.
I think let's get back on track to Dylan. Back to Dylan. $700,000 a year. He needs to obviously remember what he is there getting paid for to focus on footy. I found it more disappointing as a fan to know that the player our season had just ended and he's decided to go straight out after to a nightclub and enjoy himself when the fans are hurting and the players
should be
hurting.
Jeez, I hope none of the other players were with him.
Well, they could be, but they're going to fly under the radar, aren't they, because they didn't get charged for something stupid.
That's right.
Yeah, they didn't get in trouble.
So, yeah.
So they're allowed to. I don't know what your point is here, Troy. So they weren't done for anything.
I personally don't think any player should have been out after that game, to be honest. Like I said, that they need to feel the hurt. There's a lot of things going around. And if you keep getting called Sam, I'm going to keep crying. But I'm lost. I'm done. Let's move on to the next player. Fuck Dylan, and he's done.
It's because of Hayden's Christmas tree. That's why.
It's Hayden's Christmas tree. Sam has happened everywhere. Regan Campbell-Gillard.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. This is an interesting one for me. Junior Paulo.
Yes.
I'm going to say yes, but I'm very tempted to say no. One last chance at Para next year. I think it will be his last year round.
I'm saying no.
I'm saying no as well. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be in the team. I'm saying he doesn't deserve to be our starting front rower next year. I don't think he's on the money. It's correct. If we could move Paulo on that kind of money, we'd be in a much better situation. It's a lot of money to spend on two front rowers and him and RCG. I never thought I'd say
this. The room has stepped up.
We've got Greg, who is obviously doing the job. Now, you asked the question, do you put Junior on the bench on that kind of money when there's a chance of moving on? I can guarantee now, if we went out and said Junior Paulo is available, he's still technically a New South Wales front rower. Obviously, you know, Samoan captain internationally, front rower there. Teams would gobble him up. You know, you'd have the Dolphins, the Tigers. You have so many teams looking to take him. And it's probably the right time now, because if we wait till the end of next year, it's probably like gone on too long. So I'm going to say no. I don't think he deserves to be that 10. I think everyone kind of, agree. Yeah. Troy, your rebuttal, does he deserve to be the 10? Was that just based on what he's done previously?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, this year the whole team hasn't had the year that they wanted to have, so including Junior. So, but I'd keep him in the team.
I'd keep him in the team for the next year, but I wouldn't have him at 10. I don't think he's deserved it based on what he's done. I think he actually has caused a lot of problems in our attack this year as well, getting in the way. This is a hard one. Obviously, we're basing off the team this week, but Madison finally finds himself in the second row. So I'm going to throw Madison back on the bench because he hasn't been there all year. But Sean Lane's usually our number 11. Does Sean Lane deserve to be the starting 11 next year?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
Joel's going no. No? Yeah, look, I'm going to say yes based on what he did last year, not this year. He's had a terrible year and he's had a lot of bad luck. I think real questions need to be asked about how we've been rushing back these players from injury and the amount of fitness they've lacked, because he's been a player that's really suffered that and just keeps injuring himself based on that. And look, you could physically see, like, we were screaming for an ad group chat one of the first games back he had, and at Magic Round, he looked absolutely gassed. He's one of those players I wouldn't be devastated if he left. He's one of those players that only seems to have a good year when their contract's up. So if he went, I wouldn't seem to care. Like I said, it's been really hard to judge in this year because of the injuries. Number 12, Cartwright.
Yes.
Joel?
Yep.
I'll say now, I think Cartwright up there with Hopgood probably gets the points. He'll be close to going for our player of the year. Definitely most improved and finally got a lot of shit out of his game, but really, most importantly, defensively, he's fixed up his stuff, which he needed to do. Hopgood at lock.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, look, he's been struggling the last few weeks. I think it's been obvious to everyone. But in my opinion, obviously another full preseason, NRL preseason under his belt, really, obviously a bit of a revelation next year. Let's move on to some of the bench players. Obviously, I've got to chuck some more in here. Luca Moretti?
Yeah,
he's a young gun. Yep.
Yep, and can he please get more minutes?
I was about to say the exact same thing. I want to see more minutes out of him. I want to stop relying on, obviously, Hopgood to play big minutes when we don't need him to, because this kid's pretty capable of coming on and doing a job. I thought there was a couple of games, there probably two or three games in a row where he was one of our best every week. 15 would be Madison, because Grace played most of the year. Would you have Madison starting?
No, I'd have him off the bench.
Joel?
Yeah, I would have him starting at second row.
Troy?
Bench.
Bench. See, I think this year he's been on the bench due to the fact of our, obviously, our depth in the front row. If we are serious about, obviously, you know, dropping Paula back there, obviously keeping everyone on the field, I think Madison needs to be our starting 11, to be honest. He's obviously got a good offload, very solid defensively as well, big body, and I guess he's just kind of been one of those ones this year that struggled with the fact of how many injuries we've had. Moving on, at number 16, Wiremu Greg. I've got him starting. Obviously, I think everyone's going to say yes. He's probably been our most up there with Cartwright, most improved.
Yep.
Joel Fungali. Where do you see him? Obviously, we've signed him on a two-year deal. They're not going to let him go. He's just come.
I guess we've got to, really. You can't put him in the starting side, though. Ridiculous testing him in the starting side. So I'll just say off Hengawi off the bench, but he'll probably spend a bit of time in Cup if his form continues into next year, because it's not good.
Well,
these comments.
He's not in my starting team next year, not in my bench either, but I'd keep him as a backup, but he needs to have a massive off-season.
Troy?
Yeah, probably New South Wales Cup. As Joel said,
if he's Joe got, spoke he's got... up.
We've got
your favourite player, mate. The one who's yet to make his debut for Parramatta, Quire Rodwell, there as well.
Yeah, right? that's what we're going to get to. So, next.
Yeah, I haven't mentioned hookers yet. You haven't mentioned any hookers.
I'm getting there. I'm getting to that. Just calm down. All right. So, me for Offengawi, I don't think it was a stupid sign. I think it was a desperate signing due to injuries. We obviously saw him that week where everyone kind of broke down. He pretty much come straight in and started in the front row. I think, obviously, a Parramatta preseason, hopefully under a new coach, is going to be ideal for him. And obviously learning a lot more of structure and seeing what he can do next year, because we all know he's got potential. We've seen it at Brisbane. He obviously played Origin for a reason. Look, the 18th man, McAtoa, I think McAtoa is going to be in the same situation, in and out, popping there around. Super League, probably his best career. Is obviously getting on with age as well a bit. Wonga Blake, you think he'd be gone. Ogden, same. And Rodwell, who couldn't get in the team somehow this year to make a debut, which is quite odd, actually, because he apparently has been one of our best in New South Wales Cup a week and was struggling for front rowers. But it's all hookers. Give me who starts.
At the moment, Joey Lussick, and I'm going to say put him on the bench and start Brendan Hands, in my opinion. From what I've seen in recent weeks, I know that we said maybe Brendan can't play that full 80, but I think he's got to start, and I think it's shown in recent weeks that Joey shouldn't be starting, especially coming back from this Super League experiment after so long. It hasn't worked.
Joel?
Start Hands. Lussick can go New South Wales Cup or back to Super League. It's just a stupid signing. And I know you haven't mentioned Dave yet, but he can go to Super League as well. I'll get in early.
Just get rid of everyone.
Yeah, we are. Fair
dragon. Yeah, Hands start. We've seen need two hookers in a game, I reckon, so Lussick on the bench.
Look, I'll say on the Lussick signing, once again, I think it was a desperate one, and it wasn't a very thought-out signing. That was a pretty good job for us there. If Matt Arthur wasn't Brad Arthur's son, Matt Arthur would have been pushed into the team based on his ability, and he would have been rushed through, obviously, to be there. Obviously, I didn't think he was ready, or Brad didn't think he was ready for some reason. So we're going to find a situation here where we've got three hookers that should be ready next year. And me personally, I'm interested to see what Lussick does. Like, I know you guys obviously watch a bit of footy, but I watch a bit of the Super League, and it's very hard to come from Super League, obviously, to the NRL. So, once again, obviously the testing for Lussick is going to be fucking hell, Joel. The tester is going to be Lussick's preseason and how he develops as a player and who gets that starting role. One thing that does need to be fixed is we need to go back to that Piggy Riddell, PJ Marsh, or Brad Drew, PJ Marsh kind of rotation and have some kind of spark when our hooker comes on. Pretty much all we got through. We got through them all. The concerning thing is we kept a lot of players. We moved a few players on, but like we said, there's no one to bring in, so we do need to rely on obviously that youth or start raiding other teams, New South Wales Cups there. You want to move on to this week's game? We all happy? We actually want to talk about this? Yep. Let's just go straight to bowl predictions. I'll go through the team, then we'll go to bowl predictions. All right. Gutho, Sivo, Russell, Penasini, Simonson, RC Brown, Hopgood at lock, Madison and Cartwright in the second row, Campbell Gillard, Paulo, Lustig, and Moretti, Lane, Greg, Offengawi, Jacob Arthur's the 18th man, McAtell's the 18th man, 19th man, 19's Hands, 20's Blake, Rodwell and Ogden. All right, so the frustrating thing obviously out of this is no one's been given a chance, really. Like, you know, it could have been a game to give Rodwell a chance. You know, why rush Lane back when he's had an injury-riddled season? It just makes no sense. We're not going to win the game without Mitch. We're not going to beat Penrith playing for a minor premiership, and it's going to get ugly. I was meant to go this game. I bought tickets when we're on that run, and you can call me a fair weather fan or not, but I'm not driving 5 hours to watch my team get absolutely smashed and watch Penrith's smug fans carry on as they go to another minor premiership. Like I said in my post, I'd rather scratch my own eyes. That'd be more entertaining. All right, Hayden, let's just chuck it all in one. I want how are we going to go, your bowl prediction, your first try scorer, and your score.
Yeah, it's obviously going to be tough without Mitchell Moses missing the kicking game on Thursday night there. Second of the grand final rematch, obviously the grand final of 2022 clubs meeting again. Couple outs for the Panthers, Mitch Kenny and Sorensen, so that could help us early on because our starts have been really good. But ultimately, I think Penrith will win this game. I actually think it will be tight-ish, though. I'm going Penrith by 8. I'm going to go with a scoreline of 24 points to 16. I do think we can hold them out, and we've got that offload ability, so there's some points in us here. But I don't see us getting the win. First try scorer, I'm going to go Stephen Crichton, but I'm going to back first Parramatta try scorer Bailey, because Stephen Crichton will score one against Bailey, but Bailey will get one back on him. As for a bold prediction, I haven't really thought too much about it. It's the last one of the year, so
look, pretty much give us a fucking whole game rundown. Pretty much what the bold prediction.
Yeah, I guess I have, mate. But you know, I'm going to say, let's go Stephen Crichton and Clint Gutherson to combine for 350 plus metres. Yeah, so a running game.
Brendan, since 2021 played Penrith in the last game of our season. Yes, very true. All right, Troy.
Look, you know, I just love all this negativity that Penrith are going to smash us and all this. We'll win this game 24-20. We'll score the first try. And the bold prediction will be that we'll win the game.
I knew you were going to say that. Joel, what's he smoking? What are you saying?
I'll say this to start with. I'm not happy that Brendan, I don't know what Brendan Hands has done, but to be even completely out of this team, I don't know what Brad Arthur is thinking, but honestly, it's time for Brad Arthur to go. Like, I'm just over this. So Lustig was brought in, and since he's set foot on the field this year for Parramatta, has shown absolutely nothing. Brendan Hands has been pretty good all year, and this is how he gets treated. And we were all saying that he's our starting hooker next year.
I think it's very disrespectful against his old team as well and the team he debuted against. You think it'd be one of those games he'd be able to get himself up
maybe,
for him.
Maybe, Joel, you should fly down next year and wave one of those big banners at CommBank Stadium before it gets taken down, to get rid of BA or something.
BA out, hashtag.
I don't need to do that because the club doesn't listen to its fans anyway. So I'll be wasting my money. I already waste enough of my money on this club at the moment.
Obviously, so. Didn't listen to what Adam said. They all clearly listen to what he says.
Yeah, clearly.
No,
they don't act on it. They listen. They don't act.
All right,
Joel. Give us your prediction. This will be good.
I don't have any bold predictions. I'm over the bold prediction stuff.
Yeah,
Penrith will win.
You could win it.
All right. 41-0 to Penrith. We won't get near Penrith. Their defence is too good. They will run all over us. We're just, after what we showed last week, we're not going to the foot of the mountains and putting anything in. Bold prediction, Cleary to kick a field goal. first try scorer. Probably Leota crashing over our weak pack at the moment.
Right, I'm going to be negative too because I just don't see it being pretty.
I don't know near Penrith.
I think we'll go with him for the first 20 because the players are obviously hurting a bit, like we have in the previous weeks. My prediction is 48-4 to Penrith. They won't quite crack that 50. My first try scorer, I can just see it happening, is Jerome Luai. My first Parramatta try scorer is Dylan Brown. And my bold prediction, I've got two. I'm going to throw a Penrith one and a Parramatta one. Luai to score a hat-trick, just to really fucking rub salt in the wounds of this year. And my other bold prediction is for Regan Campbell-Gillard to throw a punch, be either sin-binned or sent off for that punch, and miss the start of next season.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, we'll just include it in the internationals at the end of the year. Like,
Yeah.
So he won't play in the internationals.
All right. Josh, can you give us your bold prediction and your predicted score while we go through some of these comments? Have you got any comments to bring up, Joel?
Let me bring some up. Talk about some rim. Hayden, you can quickly just let the viewers know who are still on about the Christmas tree background.
Well, last week we had obviously the open forum.
Why do you have it?
The open forum, which we'll do again next year. It was a fantastic segment. And Andrew, a long-time listener of the podcast, joined and we made the joke that he was looking forward to the 2023 season, para to go one better. So, you know, I'm optimistic too. Under the Christmas tree this year, one better next year.
That was great. I lost it.
This has been coming up lately, so do we think the coach is safe?
Nope.
I don't think he's safe, no. But I think our club's too strong.
I think he is safe. Yeah, I think he is safe. The club, as Adam's about to say. Yeah,
they're too spineless to sack him. And even though he probably should be gone, they'll wait till 7 or 8 games in. They'll wait till 7 or 8 games. If we're not performing, they'll get rid of him then, and that'll write off next season as well. Can you bring up the did the players go around to the ground one? I want someone to answer this. I'm unable to answer it because
I can tell you. So the players that went around were Will Penasini, Ryan Madison. There wasn't too many. A lot of them went into the sheds straight away. There were a couple though, and Ryan Madison had a little feed on over at Macca's. And funny story, Ryan Madison.
Wasn't Ryan Madison with Matty Tate in the field club for his big
Ryan Madison might have stolen my Macca's on Friday night. I have a big assumption. I have a worker that described a tall man wearing an Eagles hoodie just like mine at the time, and that person was Ryan Madison 2 minutes before my order was made. So
he wouldn't want to pay for himself.
Buffalo sauce.
It costs too much.
So can we cut that little segment up and send it to Ryan on Insta and get his reply on that one, please?
All right. Anything else? Anything else there? Jacob, no, Kelly, have you guys played rugby league and who for? There we go. That's a good question.
Well, the last thing we should do is probably speak about this week's game up against the Dragons. You know, they put in a fight.
Hang on. There's a question here.
Have you guys played rugby league? Well, look, I've played a lot of rugby league. Had a lot of fucking injuries as well. Played for Maitland, played for East Maitland. Obviously, I've coached, I've refereed, I've done pretty much everything involved in the game. So, yes, that answers me.
Yeah,
But going around this way, Joel.
I've played for the Woi Woi Roosters. I would have been about 8 or 9, and then obviously at the start of the year, back in February, I was selected to be part of the NRL Sports Shed TV charity match. So, yeah, had a try assist in that game, and I think I had a knock on as well.
Joel.
I played for the Maroons Sharks down the New South Wales South Coast. Nice little division down there. It was fun getting smashed every week by places like Tata Sea Eagles and Bega Roosters are all bloody triple our whole team size, but yeah, it was great times to play some rugby league against those big boys. I'm pretty sure I played against Dale Finucane, so there you go.
Troy, were you allowed to play footy back in your day, or do you have to
Look, it was a long, long, long time ago. Yeah, being 77 and all, it was a long time ago that I played, so the game's changed so much. But no, I did play 9s to 15s, I think, and Penrith Waratahs. Won a joint premiership in under 12s, I think it was. Started off as a 5'8 and ended up as a hooker.
And then what about footy? Oh, yeah.
Oh, look, that was a long time ago, Andrew.
I'll give you the breaking news this year, whoever asked that question. I've got one more year in me. I'm going one more next year, then I'll slide into retirement. Had this year off due to some injuries and going overseas. But, yeah, quick question. I'm sorry if I can get someone suggested Michael Innes as coach for his thoughts. Mate, Michael Innes isn't going to give up. He's obviously what he's doing with Fox and stuff like that to come coach because it's the most unsafe job in the world. If you want to talk about coaches,
he's thinking of maybe going Manly or Dragons, to be honest. Last year and he gave us a flick, so.
Yeah, look, coaches, we've obviously spoken about it a few times. We'll wrap this up pretty shortly, but, yeah, someone's just put the comment. John Morris has been spoken about. Obviously, he was there for Parramatta. Yeah. Player, obviously done some coaching. I've thrown a suggestion around last week, Adrian Lamb. Obviously, he's killing it over there with Lee Leopards in the Super League.
There was late-breaking news tonight, too, that Souths are going to sack their John Morris and Sam Burgess maybe immediately. Yeah. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. NRLW, look, they showed a bit of heart and actually showed a bit of fight. They showed a lot more fight than the men did in their game. They're getting better. They're developing. Look, obviously, with all those players leaving due to certain reasons, it's a bit of a hard one, but they seem like they're actually starting to click, so hopefully I can get a win by the end of the year. Someone can read that. It's too far.
We spoke about this. So on a serious note, and I could be wrong here, the club hasn't had a meet and greet in Brisbane since Isaac de Goyce is playing. I caught him, Petesy, and he just did. Our fan interaction is fucking horrible from game day to the club website. He's pretty much spot on me because I don't remember the last time they had anything up here for the fans.
Well, we haven't had a proper fan day. We had a members-only day, which was limited numbers as well at the new training oval in January. But we haven't had a proper fan day since actually before COVID. We used to have one at the Kellyville Farm, I think it was, and then previously there was the Parramatta near the stadium. We had it in the park. So, yeah, not only interstate, down here it's been pretty bad as well, considering, you know, you boys saw how good it was for the Cowboys after every home game. It's pretty appalling. Even fans on the field, that was the first time since 2019, for God's sake.
Yeah, we've been pretty unlucky this year with game days, as if in actual days as well. Like, I think it would be more fans on the field if we had a bit more friendly Sunday or Saturday games. We had a lot of Thursday and Friday night games, which sucked, and a Sunday 6:30 game. We had two of them, and a Friday 6 p.m. game. Look, touching on, obviously, that fan interaction stuff, I'll go back to what would have been 2003, I think, maybe, where Darren Tracy was playing for Parramatta and owned the pub at Morpeth. Remember the boys coming up to Morpeth back then, and they'd have the pub. All the fans would be invited from Newcastle. Be rumoured it was going around stuff, and you just have the players sitting there drinking with the fans, mingling. You'd have Jamie Lyon behind the bar pouring drinks for everyone, and it was just a great time to be a Parramatta fan. I don't think the current players have the care factor and think they're too entitled to actually do anything like that. So it's on the club. I know Brad Arthur's changed a lot of things since Brad Arthur's been there. A lot of fan interaction's gone out the window, but it's on the club to make things better because they'll have to next year because they will lose members. Of course I remember it. I was 12. I remember walking up to Brian Smith at the ATM trying to have a chat with Brian Smith and him completely ignoring me. He was a wanker. All right. Anything else? Nothing to add?
What an episode. Oh, I love this club. Oh, Jesus.
It's a gift that keeps on giving. Troy, take us out for the second last time this year. Cheer-o, bro. Go the Warriors.
Well, thank you very much for viewing and potentially listening to the podcast when it comes out. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your input tonight. It certainly was a interesting podcast today. And look, go Para.
Oh, I'm getting a call from George Rose. Hey, mate. Ah, he wants to organise a boxing match between Joel and Troy. Let's
book it in. Oh, Joel wants to take on a 77-year-old. Jeez.
That was great. That was great. Go Para.